Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hidden Mentality. Before I get into my amazing guest bio, I have been alerted that I should be saying a call to action. Hey, I'm new to this, all right, leave me alone. Anyway, if you're enjoying the content, give the podcast a follow and also subscribe to Rishi Kurada on YouTube, where I'll be posting short clips as well as the full podcast. You can receive updates, which are pretty nice, but you also make me happy, right? So why not do it? And remember to check out hiddenfixes.com for my blog where I post a lesson I learned from each podcast episode. Okay, anyway, let's get into today's episode. Today, we have Paramita Kotkar on the show. Paramita is family to me, and with over 24 years in the beauty and entertainment industries, she's become a respected self-image coach. From being crowned Miss India Asia Pacific to being a talk show host on 8 television channels, and working as a lead national makeup artist for Bobby Brown, Paramita's diverse background is nothing short of sensational. After motherhood, where many women lose their sense of self, she found a new path, creating empowering content for women seeking confidence and gaining nearly 3 million followers on YouTube. That's right, 3 million. Now, she coaches corporate leaders and entrepreneurs, helping them refine their personal brand through body language, personal styling, corporate grooming, and more. Why is be yourself actually bad advice, and how can we go beyond it to create a better version of ourselves? In today's episode, we dive deep into the challenges of identity, exploring how to break free from the limitations that keep people stuck in one role. We share Paramita's inspiring journey from motherhood to content creation and uncover why the advice to be yourself can actually hold you back. We also explore the difference between being liked and being respected, how to craft a strong personal brand, and the strategies for mastering the art of earning genuine respect. Tune in for actionable insights on personal growth, evolving your identity, and building a lasting reputation. So without further ado, please welcome Miss Paramita Kotkar. Ms. Paramita Kotkar, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rishi, for inviting me. I'm very excited about talking to the next generation from where I come and looking forward to what we can exchange here.
Hey, this is super exciting for me because I must have been, I think, 11 or 12 when I was drooling over your 100,000 subscriber play button. And now, fast forward to now, you've got 2.8 million, let me say that again, million subscribers. How's the journey been?
The journey has been very surprising, something that I wasn't prepared for, something that I didn't think it would land up where it is. And it has been very fulfilling in so many different ways, because it's not just about getting the numbers or getting the followers, but it's truly about building the community that I have built over a period of time. People's trust that comes into you and you start appreciating who you are instead of doubting, is there really place for me? Because when I posted my first video, that same video was posted on Facebook and I got 0 likes and 0 comments. And I was like, nobody likes this. And the same video on YouTube hit 1.3 million views. So suddenly, you know, there is that validation that, yes, there's something that you have that people want. You're not just a homemaker, not just a mom. There is so much more that you can offer. And now there is not just YouTube channel, but there are multiple businesses that have evolved. So yes, the journey has been excellent.
You know, it's funny. I think I was in Chicago one of the years and we went to a theme park. And I don't know if you remember, but to this day, we were sitting on the bench and some woman just came up saying, "Oh my God, can I take a photo?" And I was like, "Should I take it for you? Because I want to be somewhat involved in the popularity contest." But that was the moment when I knew that you had so much impact on so many people, you know.
I will address that, but I have to tell you that you do have that Midas touch. Every time you film, even as a little kid, I told you, "Hey, Rishi, nobody's watching. Take this phone. I want to create a content." It has gone viral. Every time you have filmed something for me, it has done really well. So maybe we should be in the same city.
Hey, well, but, we're linking up now. So hopefully.
Yes. So, talking about that incident, you know, back in the day when I was in Bollywood and doing movies, I realized that the popularity is very limited. You're just in Bombay, Delhi, or in certain areas, people know you well. But YouTube, it's still hard to digest for me that YouTube can give you that celebrity status. And wherever I go, if I landed in London, people at the airport know me. If I'm in Dubai or any place, wherever you are, there are people who know you. You enter an elevator, there's at least one person who says, "Hey, I follow you, I like you." And it's an excellent feeling and something that you are not prepared for when you start that journey. So, yeah.
So, I want to talk about the start of your journey because I think that's quite interesting to talk about and deep delve into. I think, tell me if I'm wrong, 2016, you entered this transformative period where you obviously have two kids that I absolutely love to bits, but you transitioned from motherhood to then suddenly creating content. What was this period like, this transitioning period, and how did you find the content creation as your goal?
Oh, so content creation was not really my goal. I started off just being a mother, and I realized very quickly how most of the mothers or new moms give up on one journey to start a new journey because motherhood is a very demanding life. And it took me, it wasn't even me, it was Sagar, my husband, who decided on my behalf that Parmita, you are not meant to be just a mother. There is more to you. I married you for a lot more that you than what you're offering to us. It's not just about cleaning home, cooking, nurturing children. There is so much more that you can do, and learn to give yourself those few hours in a day because you might be a Ferrari, but you cannot work on an empty tank. You need to refuel yourself every day. It cannot be one of those weekends, mom's day out, or one of those days. You've got to nurture yourself first. Only then can you be a better mother. Now, mostly what happens is people start giving up, or moms start to give up on their careers and their lives to become a mother, or even just the fact that you think I'll be judged harshly if I'm thinking about myself. So I think that was the transition period when I would agree that it was my husband who allowed me to start thinking about myself because I wasn't giving myself that permission to think of anything else. And that is when I started as like, you know, I was actually a very different person before I became a mother. And now I've first time in my life started to judge myself. Started to think, what will other moms think of me if I dress any differently? I need to dress like them. I need to behave like them. I need to. And that wasn't me. And that's when I went back to who I used to be, dressed the way I wanted to be. I didn't care if people said, "Hey, you're just a mom. Why are you dressed a certain way? Or how do you have the time to put on makeup or put yourself together and give yourself more than what a mom like us deserves?" So I completely start rejecting those thought processes, the self negative self talk, and that was my first transformation, which started here. Everything else started later. I took up this challenge where I used to step out, giving myself a few days, a few hours in a day where I would start to dress differently, I would work out, I would connect with people, I would socialize outside of the mom groups. And that was the transition period. And that's when I started. Like, the first thing I did was when I cut my hair, I know I was transformed literally in those few hours. The next morning I woke up, I was not the same person. That's when I shot my first video because I'm like, I am raring to go. I'm a different person. I need to be seen differently. I need to be seen and I need to be heard. And that's when the first transformation happened.
I think that's so interesting because you've obviously talked about this transition from motherhood, but I feel like this identity crisis is actually quite a universal experience that a lot of people go through. So how did you actually guide yourself through this? Because I feel like a lot of people do get misled and maybe continue with staying in their past identity. How do you actually get out of that and change?
So one is, instead of Rishi giving up on your dreams, there are some people who might even think of, you know, let's start to look for a flexible career opportunity, which is what happened with me. Like, I knew that if I was Bobbi Brown's national makeup artist and I was traveling around with her and doing makeup and fashion weeks, I could not continue with that life. So even if I wanted to pursue a career, I was open to trying something different because I knew what all I was good at. So first is understanding really what are you good at. And if you don't want to do that 9-to-5 job or you want like a flexible career opportunity, you've got to create that. So one is you have to give yourself that opportunity and do not get completely lost in the identity of motherhood, because it can be difficult emotionally because you're in a position where you are grieving your past life. You know that you were, if you're a lawyer, you were doing really well. If you were an athlete, you were doing really well. If you were a coach, you were doing really well. And suddenly you're giving up everything. And people see the physical changes in a woman, which also impacts a woman, but the emotional changes are something that people don't address to. So it is very important to shift the priorities, and women have to do it, or anybody has to do it for themselves. As you're progressing, your goals change, your ambitions have to change. We change in every possible way. Our bodies change, our mindset changes, our financial conditions change in life. Then why be stuck with one goal or one ambition? I just stopped judging myself for not being able to tackle all the jobs, because when you become a mother, there are so many more things that are on your plate and that have nothing to do with you, that basically is all about taking care of somebody else. So rule number one that I set for myself is, one, I'm going to take good care of my children, but anything else that comes after that, if I can hire or delegate it to somebody else who's better at doing it, I will delegate it. So if it meant cleaning my house for 3 hours is wasting my energy, and if I could get somebody to do it, and in those 3 hours when my child is sleeping or is at daycare or is at a play date, I will use that time to share something that is invaluable. It could be creating content, it could have been working from home, it could be scripting, it could be working out, it could just be going meeting a friend for a coffee, it could be anything. But you have to dedicate that time, plan your schedule really well, and have a new ambition, which is clearly, for me, it was flexible as compared to what it used to be, but it wasn't diluting and settling for something that I didn't want to do. I never wanted to do certain kind of jobs, and I never did. So knowing yourself really well and then diving deeper into it, prioritizing yourself, your nurturing your talent, and delegating what you may not be the best at to somebody else can really simplify life. So this way, I just had two segments, family and a balance between family and my those 3 hours that I wanted to give myself.
I think the key part is you identified what's essential in your life and you prioritized it, because if you don't prioritize it, then someone else will, or something else will, you know? There's this importance of taking control of your life and actually getting out of the comfortable bubble. And because I think a lot of people actually, for example, they find this comfortable identity, maybe it's not even comfortable, this identity that people put on them, and they're so afraid of being judged and taking the step outside of it, right? Yeah. It's such a daunting experience that people tend to just hide in this bubble. And tell me your experience with the phrase, be yourself, because I love this phrase and your take on it.
Much as people talk about it very positively, I have a very negative take on okay. This be yourself. People can misjudge it or misinterpret it just to suit themselves, and I think it is probably one of the worst advices that anyone could give you, because it can be bad advice when it is used to justify staying in a rut and repeating negative patterns. It can be very harmful if somebody gives you this advice saying be yourself, and they encourage you to express yourself the way you are. Now, you could be rude, you could be abrasive, you could be prejudiced, you could be You could show up unkempt. You could show up as the worst self of who Rishi is. And if that is the advice somebody is giving you, that is wrong. It is good to be yourself works is show up as your authentic self. You don't need to act like someone. You don't need to behave like someone or dress like someone or feel like, oh, this person is popular in the office, so I'm going to act like this person or be like him or her so that I get the same recognition. That would not happen because there's only one you. There's only one you. There's only one Parmita. There's one Rishi. Bring out the best in you and be authentic to that person. But you owe it to yourself to be the best version of yourself, not be yourself. So be your future self, not yourself. That's how I started seeing myself.
Because be yourself is such a common phrase, and it often actually limits our growth. It's funny, when you said be the best version of yourself, this was before I started working on my style and actually started working out. I saw a clear difference between my confidence and how people treated me before and after. For example, before, and I think this may be also a guy thing because I think guys tend to be more brutal with each other. But I was always the skinny, unconfident kid. But then I started going to the gym and I've been going to the gym now for I think 2.5 years. I've obviously improved a bit, but then I started working my style. I was way more selective with my clothing. And the confidence I got, along with how people treated me, was so different. It was through the roof. And I'm so thankful that part of it is also, obviously, it's not nice hearing people telling me that you're a skinny piece of shit, XYZ, right? But you kind of do need to hear that you're not the best version of yourself right now.
Yeah.
So then that can actually propel you to get better.
Yes, and that's how it should be. And I'm glad you had people in your life who, in a good or a bad way, but introduced you to that part. And we sometimes need that. What you don't want are people saying, hey, you're good the way you are. Be yourself. Yeah. People should love you. Tell me, if you had yellow teeth, would you not get them whitened?
Oh, my God.
If body odor, would you not apply deodorant? So why is it that, let's say tomorrow you're going for an interview and you see a little acne, and you feel like it is popping out, it is showing up. And that's a weakness, right? Like when somebody sees your appearance, you could be dressed amazingly well from head to toe, your hair is done well. But unfortunately, people notice the negatives very quickly. And if that is jetting out and it's standing out, why is it wrong for a man to put a dot of little foundation to cover it up so that the attention goes to everything else? Your own attention doesn't focus on that little pimple that's popping out. So it is always good to put your best self forward so people start to notice your strengths. And that's what my services, even as Blush With Me, Parmita's self-image transformation coaching, is all about. That we all have a set of strengths and we have weaknesses, but unfortunately what we focus on are negatives. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you notice, my skin is like this. I wish it was better. I wish my hair was better. I wish my body posture was like this. I wish my body was like this. But we never draw attention to, hey, you know what? Maybe my hair is nicer, or my shoulders are really broad. What if I work out, they look better? Or maybe my height is really good, but if I work on my posture, I can make that work better in my favor. If somebody's short, hey, what if I start dressing a certain way? I could look much better for whatever I have. So instead of focusing on your negatives, start focusing on your positives and start to highlight them. And number two, start to not showing off your negatives. I see this all the time. When you tell somebody, hey, you know, Rishi, you're looking really nice. And first thing they would say, or not you, anybody would say, really? Like, especially women, you tell them, hey, you look really nice. They'll say, oh, it's just makeup. Oh, today you look really nice in this outfit. Oh, it's just the new heels I'm wearing. They do not want to accept the compliment. Accept it. Why do you want to put out, like, girls go out on a date and sometimes they tell me, Parmita, why is it that, you know, guys don't ask me out on a second date? I said, let's have that conversation again. And then I figure out that most of them are eager to put out all their flaws and say, I have temper issues. Like, as if you're doing them a favor by telling all your negatives and saying, accept me for who I am. Don't do that. You know, I did this very nice, very interesting demo in one of my live workshops. I had this avocado, which was almost like rotting on one side. And on the other side, it looked really nice. So what I did is I cleaned it up, I oiled it, made it all shiny, and put some nice photography light on it and took a picture from that angle. And on the other side, it was just rough and ugly. And I showed those two pictures to people and I said, which avocado would you want? And they said, this one, because it's nice and shiny and looks healthy. And I said, it's the same exact avocado. I'm just not showing you the weaknesses of this avocado. So in real life, we are that avocado. We all have our weaknesses and strengths. Why would you want people to see the worst side of you? Why are you eager to show it? And why are you not eager to cover it up and let people see the best side of you? So yes, so that's my take on why being yourself is not always the best advice for you.
I also feel like you just called me out, because every single time I used to get a compliment, and I probably still do this, I used to always be like, no, stop it. And I'd just be not, actually, I wouldn't be owning my strengths, which I started to slowly realize is, first of all, you're disregarding someone's opinion of you, so low-key kind of makes them feel worse. But at the same time, by not owning your compliment, you're not recognizing and acknowledging your strengths and your hard work. And for a long time, I did that, and I'm slowly starting to just acknowledge my strengths, because this also allows me to then give power to them and then diffuse my weaknesses. You know, it's because it's the fact that, why am I trying to put my weaknesses on display when I have certain strengths that can be on display?
Yes. Now imagine how much this could help you in every walk of life, from date to an interview, when you're interacting with your seniors. In every possible way, this only has benefits. There are no side effects to it. So
but
why
let
not?
Let me ask you, right? Because I would love to say I started working out to just overall be stronger. I started working out because I also wanted a better public image. I wanted to look better in front of people. Why is it so important? And why do we as people crave this validation from others? Because, you know, as much as I'd like to say, oh, I'm so happy that I'm fitter now, because for me, I can see it. I am also happy that other people can see it. You know, like that is one big part of it. I'm very happy that my fitness and my body's getting better, but it's also because I feel more confident that my body's getting better in front of people. Why is this validation actually important?
It is very important, Rishi, because I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say that if you didn't look good today and you look the way you did 2 or 3 years ago, you would get the same attention from girls. More men or boys would want to be your friends. You would be the team captain that you are today, because it does have actual benefits, and it could, like, you led your team. That wouldn't have happened if you weren't physically fit. That is one. But let me ask you, if I gifted you, let's say I have this pair of sunglasses here, if I just wrap it up in a newspaper and I gifted it on your birthday, it might just stay there in a corner for months together and you may not even open it. But let's say I literally just grab the keychain, which is $2 worth, but I wrap it up really beautifully, make it look like it is the most desirable gift, and it sits there on the table. I guarantee you throughout the party, your focus would be, when will this party get over so I can open this gift? Gift wrapping ourselves and presenting the best version of yourself is not only good when you look at yourself in the mirror, it definitely changes you. You will see your body language change, your face change. You look at yourself differently. You will want to take a selfie and say, damn, Rishi, you look good. And the way you start to feel here about yourself matters a lot, because that reflects in everything. When you're meeting someone, when you're going for an interview, you have no doubts about yourself. And that's what happens when you eliminate doubts about yourself. There is only one thing that can exist. In this cup, if I wanted, dirt and water both cannot exist that I can drink. They can either be water, clean water that I can drink, which means clarity. So in your brain, if you wanted clarity and doubt to coexist, they both cannot. There's got to be only one thing that has got to exist at one time. The more clear you are about yourself, the less doubtful you are about yourself. And that's what confidence and presenting the best version of yourself does to you. And yeah.
I also do think there is this level of, and I hate to say this, but if there's someone who's well-groomed with a good style and is in shape versus someone who's not in shape at all and doesn't really care about clothing themselves properly, I am judging those two. Inherently, I am, because the first person that is groomed well and is styled well, I'm already associating that, okay, well, he's well-disciplined because he's working out. He's mm-hmm. well-groomed, which means he's taking care of himself. There's these Correct. Automatic traits that we associate with people.
Absolutely.
So I do think there's this level of, I don't know what the word is, but...
Let me put it this way. It is more about you create a brand out of yourself.
Exactly.
By presenting the best version of you. When you are fit, that's a brand. You don't need to carry a Chanel backpack for people to associate. So you, when you carry brands or wear brands, you're basically letting those, you're depending on that brand's perception to add value to you. But when you present yourself well, even if it's a t-shirt from Target, you know that you're carrying it with aplomb. You look the part. You know your body is speaking for itself, because fitness to me is a brand, and it speaks more than anything else. So yeah, and it changes everything. Your skin changes, your hair changes, your demeanor changes, your walk changes, everything.
And it's funny, right? Because validation, I think, from people comes in two predominant forms, in my opinion. Tell me if you mm-hmm. think differently. I think it comes one in the fact that you like someone for who they are, and there's also one where you respect someone for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, I define the two terms. It's hard for me to define it, right? Because I think liking someone is almost like an agreement with someone's position, but then mm-hmm. respect is like an appreciation for one's position. So
yes,
how would you define it?
Yeah, there are so many different ways you can take this like versus respect topic in. I'll come to this, but the previous topic that we were on, I want to wrap that up really quickly. When somebody doesn't feel good about themselves, when they don't present the best version of themselves, you attract the same kind of people in your life. And you attract people who are below you, be it in looks, be it in image, be it in confidence, be it in social status, everything. And it is not a bad thing to aspire to be connected with better people. When I was in Miss India and I had an opportunity to be in the room with a girl who intimidated me and who I thought had achieved a lot more versus a girl who was looking up to me, I chose to be in a room where I looked up to that other girl who kind of scared me a little bit, but I was like, I'm going to learn so much every day from this girl because she is already way ahead of me. So I think that helps you. And if you are well kept, you attract the kind of crowd that you want to be with in future. So that's where I think your perception creation and your personal branding becomes more prominent. And then comes our next step about being liked or being respected. Now, let's say you've become this person and now you could be liked and respected by anyone. Now, what happens is that often liking is translated into appearing more approachable, friendly, or somebody who shows smiles and warmth and they have open gestures. Most importantly, these kind of people who want to be liked have a certain kind of body language. They mirror gestures of people that they want to be liked by. They smile a lot more. And to me, smile is like sugar and sugar is like poison. When somebody smiles more, it gives me a red flag. They either want to be liked, they want to be in your circle, they're trying to please you too much. I do not trust people who do too much of that. And you'll see it too. If you go on a date and a girl is constantly smiling, you'd be like, I can't be that good that you're smiling all the time. Right? So one is too much smiling is trying to please people. And also these people who want to be liked will always mirror gestures. What that means is when there are two people in a room, it's always the more powerful one, the one more respected, will always dominate the room. And you can immediately take control of that situation right from the get-go. When have you seen, like, if there are two people, one enters the room who's very chirpy and happy and says, "Hey, Matt, how are you? How's your day going?" And Matt's having a bad day and he's like, "Yeah, fine, let's start." Now, it's completely up to the second guy who entered the room to either take this negative vibe or, the vibe the other person is giving and follow his route and say, "Okay, let's start working. I'm going to take out my laptop." Versus if he changes the complete flow and he controls the room, he's like, "Hey man, let's go, let's chat over a coffee. I met somebody incredible in the elevator, can't wait to share that with you. You ready?" He didn't let the first or the Mac guy take over the room. So you've got to be that one person. You've got to understand if you're going to be respected, you're going to control the room, you're going to give in, or you are the one who's going to basically make sure if others mirror your gestures. And you will see that if there's somebody very dumb, see for example movies like Godfather, do you ever see the person who is in charge ever smile too much or mimic other people in the room? It is the other people who are trying to be like the boss. And gangster is probably a bad idea or bad example, but it is true. Whenever you see even movies, whenever you see people in high authorities, people whose podcast you might be watching and admiring, watch their body language. Are they overtly smiling? Are they leaning into the other person too much? Are you trying to people please? You'll never see those people do that. So getting respect means you have to definitely put up an act. You have to step out of your comfort zone and say, "I'm going to act. For that time being, I know it's going to be hard. I'm going into a room for an interview, for example, but I'm not going to suck up to these people, or I'm going to act a certain way. I'm going to demand respect. I will be liked. I'm going to control my amount of smiling." And it will happen. We as humans have so many expressions that we can use. We can modulate our voice. We can modulate our expressions, our body language. Then why get stuck with smile? Because it is the easy way out. And people have told you, "Hey, just smile and people will love you for who you are." No, people will not. Like, the more people smile and constantly talk to me, I find it very creepy. And for me, that is a red flag.
But is this something that you can develop? Is it a developable persona, or is this something you just have to fake? Because I agree that there are people who put on certain characteristics that automatically attract respect, right? But I feel like there is something, and it's not me going against you, but there is something, I guess, putting me off on the fact that we have to fake it till we make it to gain respect, you know? Like, why can't we be our authentic true self and gain respect? Or why can't we develop a persona or develop certain characteristics which gain respect?
So let's change the word from faking it to practicing it.
Okay.
If you want to look, let's say, old money, and you don't want to look like a trendy youngster. If I suddenly put you in outfits that make you look more the image you want to carry, on day one, you'll never be comfortable. It's like saying you want to run marathon. On day one, if I say start running marathon, I don't want you to stop running for 5 hours, you will fail. But it is about practicing. Will you practice every day? An hour, half hour, practice running, strengthening your body, different muscles, multiple different things that you need to do in order to achieve that marathon goal. So when it comes to presenting yourself, initially, if you enter a room and people don't even acknowledge that you're in the room, to how do I enter tomorrow that my demeanor is different? How do I look at people? And notice that the focus, the power shifts very quickly when you present yourself better. The practicing is all it is. You can't suddenly start dressing better because it's a special occasion and expect that your body will react to it normally. You're not ready for it. You've never done that before. I have seen this happen, Rishi, when I dressed poorly, the same number of people or same kind of people who I used to meet, even just the head nod would previously be more like, sup, like, no, like this. When you consider somebody your buddy, you do what's up. Changing my dress, my body language, my demeanor, walking in my mind, feeling like even if Julia Roberts sees me, she's going to come and say, hey, who are you? I want to get to know you better. That's how I walk in my mind. And trust me, just that head nod from what's up went to, like, people were nodding down. Very different. And they don't even realize they're doing it. And that's the shift in power, in respect that you can achieve for yourself, but only with practice. Now, you can call it faking it or practicing it, but unless you put yourself in those situations, it's not going to change.
Oh, the head nod is so cool. I think the head nod is so cool because I read this story somewhere where we subconsciously do a head up because we're showing our neck towards people mm-hmm. that we actually somewhat trust in that they, or we see them as they won't be able to do anything to us. So we show our neck because mm-hmm. it's one of our vulnerable places. But we put our head down for people that maybe show a level of, not threat, but show a level of insecurity towards. So I think that's so sick mm-hmm. to think about. Yeah. I also want to talk about the fact that you initially said you cut your hair and you felt this whole new persona, right? Mm-hmm. And is that... Do you think you attracted more respect from people when after you cut your hair from before cutting your hair?
Rishi, there is always going to be an audience for you that loves you, likes you for who you are. And the sooner you realize there is going to be a large number of people who will hate your guts, who will either be jealous of you or who will not, who genuinely not understand your journey and wouldn't understand why you would do it. And a lot of people used to even, the community I lived in, women were a certain way and they were raised a certain way. And trust me, this can happen in any country. And this is talking about US. So people have a certain mindset based on the kind of community you live in, what you're used to, what you've been trained to believe. So a lot of people would come up to me and say, hey, you know what? Women shouldn't do this. You shouldn't cut your hair. You should let your hair grow longer. That's when you would be feminine. That's how you look attractive to a man. I said, wait, first of all, my husband said, Parmita, you would look great in short hair, so try it. And to me, the logic is always, if it's not a tattoo, go for it. Because hair can always grow out and I wanted to do it. But even after I started creating content, there were some people who would pass negative comments. But at the end of the day, I calculated. I'm like, there are 5 comments who are negative, that are negative, and 500 comments from people who are in awe of who I am, what I do, if the hair looks good on me. People are cutting their hair because they follow me. And I'm like, don't do that. It may not look good on you, but that's the kind of dedication people have towards people that they love. And it is my responsibility as a content creator, as an image coach, that I nurture people who trust me. And I should not care. The more I care about people who don't like me, it is going to negatively impact me. So the more I distance myself, it's actually a great thing because you know who should be out of your life and who should be in your life. It is a very important thing to know who you're community is, and most people don't know that. And the reason that happens is because you have such a small group of people around you, your neighbors, your friends, and those are the only people that can impact your decisions. From, for women, it could be from hair to nails to shoes to what you wear. But once you understand that there is a global audience out there who's looking for something different, they are looking for inspiration, and that is you. Serve them, and that's what I choose. So, yeah.
I like this. I think we can connect it to what you said earlier, because you said it's important. It is important to gain some validation from people, but mm-hmm. I think we have to clarify that it's the right people that we have to gain validation from. So it's about picking which environment you actually want to strive in, and then mm-hmm. maybe then developing the right traits to strive in that environment. If I've misquoted you, tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about specifics in the sense that we spoke about, for example, smiling too much or certain traits like that. What other traits are there that we can practice on the daily, on the weekly, that men or women in almost any field can actually just generally improve, because you are the expert in this. You know, this is your game.
Yeah. So one of the things that I recommend everyone is don't follow trends or suggestions that just randomly come from your friends, because neither are they experts and nor are trends suitable for your goals or your lifestyle or your comfort level or your body type or name it. And just because something is trending, the reason most people follow it is because you want to fit in with others, because everyone is doing it, let me fit in. But it is so much simpler when you understand what your lifestyle is, what you should wear. If my lifestyle is that I have to walk a lot and go out for meetings and meet people for lunch, and I cannot wear high heels, I don't care how expensive and good and free those branded shoes are, but if I can't wear 6 inches heels, I will say no to that brand. And because that's not my lifestyle. And that doesn't support my body, that doesn't support my health. And you have to make those decisions for yourself and every day. So yeah, so that would be one of the things that I would highly recommend, that do not follow something just because it is trendy. You've got to understand what your body type is, and it could be from everything, from innerwear to outerwear. Confidence comes from every part of what you wear and how you reflect it. Number two, put your best version out by focusing more on your strengths. When you look at yourself in the mirror and you start noticing negatives, versus even if you find just those 4 or 5 strengths, start to polish them and reflect those outside. And say, for example, you may find there are a few weaknesses. Now, let's say somebody has brittle nails, short fingers, not great. Make sure you manicure them so that they don't look dry and, you know, you're not showing your dead skin peeling off on your hands. They look soft when somebody shakes hand with you. They have a pleasant experience. So just because something looks negative in the first go, there is no, don't accept that, hey, this is not good about me and I can't do anything about it. Try to polish it, make that look better. It may never become your top-notch strength, but it could. Like for me, my long hair, after both my children were born, because of hormones, because of stress, because of whatever, I was losing a lot of hair. So there was no point keeping long hair, which is why when I cut my hair short, it literally overnight became my strength. It not only changed my confidence, but even when I created content, people started recognizing me more as, hey, that girl who looks like Halle Berry. Hey, that girl with short hair. Hey, that. And it only worked in my favor. So you've got to understand, even if you have certain negatives, what can you do to change it, to make that into a more positive appearance about you? So focus on yourself. You've got to make that time and make that list of anything. Like even if you want to tomorrow be a surgeon, you can't suddenly start doing surgery on somebody. You've got to take certain number of years to master that. But unfortunately, we don't take that time for ourselves. When you're going out, you ask your friends, hey, how does that look? Should I wear it? She says yes, or he says yes, you buy it. Is it really suitable for you? Is it really going to help your lifestyle? Like, you know, so those are some of the things that you need to consider before you just make a decision.
I used to wear a lot of streetwear, and I started then reflecting, because first of all, I'm 5'9", so I don't think streetwear is the best for any short men, to be honest.
You're sure you're not 6'1"?
Maybe 6'2", actually, on a good day. So, and then I've also, when it comes to my physical shape, I've then got pectus, which is this condition where my chest goes inward. Because of that, I've actually got broader shoulders. So when I was reflecting, I actually soon realized it was better for me to get out of this trend. Because I think, especially now with my generation, from, I would say, the ages of 17 to 22, streetwear mm-hmm. is everywhere. You walk out in New York, yeah. You walk out in London, all you see is streetwear. And I mm-hmm. told myself, Ray, streetwear is just not for you, because I think I'm in somewhat good shape, but I'm a shorter guy. So why would I want to wear baggier clothes that are going to hide that? And mm-hmm. I actually, interestingly, never told you this, but I watched some of your videos, even though they're typically for women. But I realized that I need to get my, for example, my length of my legs up, because that makes me look taller. Then I need to mm-hmm. probably wear fitter clothes. So I then, after I turned to old money, which is not mm-hmm. completely old money, but more fitted clothes, my confidence level improved immaculately. Like the jump from streetwear to old money, that confidence level boost was bigger from when I was wearing garbage to streetwear. And I think once you find the right fit, it is, you will know it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And trust me, when you feel confident, you know what your body looks good in. It doesn't have to be expensive branded stuff. And sometimes I've seen people, they don't know what to wear. They're wearing stuff just because it's popular and everybody else is wearing. And it could have all the brands written from head to toe. I see from Balenciaga to Chanel to Louis Vuitton. And I'm like, I did not notice you at all. And all I'm seeing is all this gibberish that does not look good on you. And I'm only seeing this person could have looked so much better in this. Because, I mean, that's my job. So I just scan through people as I'm walking. And that's my entertainment as well. But that's what I do. So here is something that I ask my image transformation clients to do. And I think your audience or your friends, you particularly, since you're also doing these podcasts so that you can improve yourself, I think will benefit from. It can be challenging in a certain way, but also kind of relieving once you're done with this. Everyone owes this to themselves. Do this. Ask 5 people. What do they like about you, and where do they think you need to change? And people who don't care, or people who are, you know, just there hanging around you, or they don't really want you to change, trust me, their answers would be, you're good. You don't need to change anything. You're good the way you are. But you will even feel a little hesitant to reach out to people who would truly care, because you know they're going to give you some truth and hard truth that and might not be very easy for you to digest. And when you hear from them that, you know, hey, Rishi, you know, when you talk to people, this could change, or this is how your dressing could impact people, if this is your, like, whatever it is, the more you get truth from people. And I have heard, I have done this myself, and some of the people said, Parmita, you know, I have known you for so many years. I was hoping someday you would ask me this. You did not, but here is the truth. And it's good to know that from people who have the right feelings for you, right intentions for you. And it's very important to know that these 5 are just the examples. You're really going to have more of these people who will BS you about how good you are, versus people who genuinely will tell you why you're good or why you could improve in certain areas. And we, like I said, owe this to ourselves.
I mean, it's a win-win no matter what, because first of all, you improve, or you hear where you need to improve, and then you also recognize who's being real with you, because there is nothing more aggravating. You know the classic when you have something in your teeth and you've had 10 conversations and not one of those 10 people have told you? That is one of the most aggravating things I've ever been. I'm like, and finally the 11th person will be like, hey, by the way, you got something in your teeth. I'm like, I just spoke to 10 different people and none of them had the balls to tell me. Like, come on. And we've spoken a lot about visual displays. In terms of actually interacting and speaking to people, what is a common mistake many people actually make?
What do you mean?
So we've spoken a lot about how to improve in terms of clothing or general, when we walk into a room, how do we show ourselves? Mm-hmm. When we're speaking to people, how do we actually attract respect?
So like I said, first is the moment your demeanor here changes and your body language changes, you'll notice your voice changes too. And you've got to put that effort into your voice as well, because understanding what your audience is, understanding the room you're addressing, it could be, if I'm speaking one-on-one to a person, you see how much my hand moves. It's very little. The moment you step 3 feet away from me, my body language would have to change. My voice throw would have to change. If I'm speaking to 4 different people at a time, my eye contact, making sure everybody's engaging into me and I'm the queen bee, so the focus stays on me, has to change. I can't just keep looking at one person because I like that person. And again, a lot of nonverbal cues, they are speaking on your behalf, almost 80% of it. Voice only follows after that. What you're speaking only follows. So topics about, you know, how to make small talk or making sure that the small talk actually converts into a helpful conversation that can lead into a certain direction instead of just monosyllable answers or the basic how's the weather, you gained weight, da 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 kind of conversation. So those come much later. Just knowing that you can change your voice. And I observe this from even old movies to new movies. I observe this in actors who were beginners who had not worked on their voice, and their voice would be like, hey, you know what? And then it changes to when they're doing more powerful roles, hey, you know what? Changes. The throw of your voice changes. When do you speak? Just try to do this, even if you say something like, hey, so for today's meeting, versus try to say this on an out breath, because what I did just now was on an in breath. But if you throw your breath out and then say it, so for today's meeting, the voice becomes that much more powerful. So start to speak more on when you're speaking on an out breath versus when your pitch is higher, when you're speaking on in breath. So when you're introducing yourself, very important that you use that. And again, with your body language, what you're wearing, your voice starts to change. So voice is an important aspect that you should be working on, because it really is like, it supports whatever you're going to say. And whatever you're going to say, if it doesn't follow up with a strong voice, it's not going to really have the same kind of impact. So, and it'll give you a lot more, like people will listen to you a lot more when your voice is clearer, sharper. And about the conversation, I think it's extremely important that you're well read or understand the topic that you're going to be discussing, and you come across somebody who's well read. And if you don't know much about it, it's a great idea to be a good listener. Personally, if that happens to me when I listen to people, I always get something to understand this person more, to take the conversation in the direction I want to take it in. And invariably, if I go for an event, I come home with some clients or people who want to work with me, because I know how to direct that conversation into a direction where I want them to follow. So learning how you can get people to follow you is very important. It can happen through clothing, body language, voice modulation, and actually having the skills to convert the topics.
Do you know what the turtle effect is?
What is that?
You probably know what it is. It's whether you're open bodied or closed bodied in a room. And I love this because I think it's so funny now after I've read about it. But people, and I used to do it all the time, when we get nervous, we tend to squish and compress our bodies really close to each other because we think we're hiding. But in fact, because of this compression, and it's so abnormal that we stick out more. And it shows the biggest lack of confidence we'll see. Whereas if we do the complete opposite, where if we become really open-bodied, even if we're nervous, we become very open-bodied, we first of all fit into our setting more. And maybe, I'm pretty sure it is evolutionary. There's this whole article about it, why we actually compress more, because it's something to do with the fact that we want to hide in plain sight from predators, but it's all comes back from evolution. But I've learned that, and I used to do this all the time, and now when I open my body up, I fit in way more, and people actually see me as way more of an approachable person.
Yeah.
And I end up getting the result I actually do want in the end.
So now I'll go back to what you mentioned earlier, that you weren't convinced that you've got to fake it till you make it. So in this situation, unless you fake a body language of a lot more confident person by opening your shoulders, taking more space, having more expansive body language, is something that your mind is saying, shrink, Rishi, shrink. You know, you don't know, this person is overpowering you. But if you keep faking that for those few moments and you say, no, I'm going to maintain the eye contact, the assertive eye contact, I'm going to keep the body language up, it is going to be for a few moments. And that's what you've got to learn from actors. They might have had a shitty day. They may have had a fight with their wife, but today is a comic scene and I've got to make people laugh. I will make it happen come what may. You don't say they're faking it. They're acting for that moment. And you've got to feel that you're in that moment to be able to pull it off. So yeah, it is extremely important to be able to change that in that moment to get the results that you want.
Yeah, and I think it all starts back from getting the foundations right, which is obviously picking the right environment. And I did this whole episode I think the first episode, it was, I talked to my friend about the fact that you are also the product of your environment. So we also attract people that who we are, but then we also become people who we surround ourselves with.
Absolutely.
So if we don't actually pick the right people to surround ourselves with, we're then lowering our standard to their mm-hmm. standard. So yeah. I genuinely think if I don't think I'm the best styled, if I start spending more time, obviously don't lose your friends that aren't styled well. I'm sure they're great people, but even your Instagram, your social media, if you orientate it so then the social media is filled with more people that are styled better, you automatically gain ideas and inspiration. And if you surround yourself with people who work out more or more fit, you then automatically gain a persona for being someone who wants to work out.
Yeah. And it's very important what goes in here, what goes in through here, and what goes in through here. By that, I mean your mind, your ears, your eyes, everything that you consume is impacting you. Trust me, if before going to bed, if you're feeling lazy, you haven't worked out in 5 days, make sure you start watching 4 to 5 fitness related videos or motivation related videos. I guarantee you, you'll kick your butt the next morning and wake up an hour sooner and work out, because you're letting yourself get influenced by something better and a better mindset. If you start watching crap before going to bed, that's what you will wake up with. So extremely important, you surround yourself with everything. And before we, people think that whatever mindset you are in is what is going to reflect on your face. And if you're having a bad day, people can tell from your face, they can tell from your body language, but the opposite is also equally true. When you fake a body language, even if you're having a bad day, if you fake a smile for a few minutes, if you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm great, I'm doing a great job, I'm going to have a great meeting, I'm getting into an interview, I know I'm going to be incredible, and I will deliver everything that I know I'm capable of and more, there is no way your mind will not adapt to the new thought that your body has already adapted to. So you can reflect very quickly how you want your mind to think and behave.
Love it. And I want to do this with all my guests, but you spoke about earlier what you thought was terrible advice, which was be yourself. To end it off, what is the best advice you've ever been given?
Best advice I've been given, or I would say I made up for myself, would be your vibe will create your tribe. And you don't have to go trying to fit in, even if it's a small tribe, a handful of people. You've got to create them by being your authentic self, but not be yourself. Be the best version of yourself. The right kind of people will be attracted to you. In some cases, it can be a few handful of people. Sometimes it can be 2.8 million.
Nice. So to wrap it up, just tell the viewers, obviously I'm pretty sure everyone would know, but where can they find you? What your next steps are?
You can find me everywhere. You Google Parmita Katkar. But
what a humble being.
I never said every attitude is good attitude or bad attitude, but if you're not going to talk about yourself, nobody else is. So my suggestion would be take pride in being who you are and show up as that person. So if you're going to look up ParmitaKatkar.com, you can find me. If you look up Blush With Me Parmita on YouTube or Instagram, your viewers can find me. And how do we find you, Rishi?
You can find me on my Instagram, Rishi Karada. Please drop me a request. I'm fiending for some followers right now. And you can check out hiddenfixes.com. But otherwise, okay. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful sharing all of this with you and to chat with you. Thank you, Rishi.
Appreciate it. Love it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hidden Mentality. Before I get into my amazing guest's bio, I have been alerted that I should say a call to action. Hey, I'm new to this, alright? Leave me alone. Anyway, if you're enjoying the content, give the podcast a follow and also subscribe to Rishi Karada on YouTube, where I'll be posting short clips as well. Nope. Hey, I'm new to this, all right? Leave me alone. Anyway, if you're enjoying the content, give the podcast a follow and also subscribe to Rishi Kurata on YouTube, where I'll be posting short clips as well as the full podcast. You'll receive updates, which are nice, but you also make me happy, right? So why not? And check out hiddenfixes.com for my blog, where I post a lesson I learned from each podcast episode. All right, let's get into today's episode. Today, we have Parmitha Kotkar on the show. Parmitha is family to me, and with over 24 years in the beauty and entertainment industries, she's become a respected self-image coach. From being crowned Miss India Asia Pacific to being a talk show host on 8 television channels and working as a lead national makeup artist for Bobby Brown, Parmitha's diverse background is nothing short of sensational. After motherhood, where many women lose their sense of self, she found a new path, creating empowering content for women seeking confidence and gaining nearly 3 million followers on YouTube. That's right, 3 million. Now, she coaches corporate leaders and entrepreneurs, helping them refine their personal brand through body language, personal styling, corporate grooming, and more. Why is be yourself often bad advice, and how can we go about... Why is be yourself often bad advice, and how can we go be... Why is be yourself actually bad advice, and how can we go beyond it? Why is be yourself actually bad advice, and how can we go beyond it to create a better version of ourselves? Why is be yourself actually bad advice, and how can we go beyond it to create a better version of ourselves? In today's episode, we dive deep into the challenges of identity, exploring how to break free. In today's episode, we dive deep into the challenges of identity, exploring how to break free from the limitations that keep people stuck in one role. Parmitha shares her inspiring journey from motherhood to content creation and uncover why the advice to be yourself can hold you back. We share Parmitha's inspiring journey from motherhood to content creation and uncover why the advice to be yourself can actually hold you back. We also explore the difference between being liked and being respected, how to craft a strong personal brand, and the strategies for mastering the art of earning genuine respect. Tune in for actionable insights on personal growth, evolving your identity, and building a lasting reputation. Let's get into it. Tune in for actionable insights on personal growth, evolving your identity, and building a lasting reputation. So without further ado, please welcome Miss Parmitha Kotkar.